Today's scripture lesson comes from the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 8, 26 through 39. It can be found on page 158 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Romans 8, 26 through 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, will He not with Him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of God, Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in Thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, I said when we started these last few weeks where we've been working our way through Romans, and as I started Romans 8 3 weeks ago, I mentioned to you that some of the commentators say that Romans chapter 8 is probably a quintessential chapter. It really articulates and demonstrates for us Christ's victory and what we have as Christians, adopted into the body through Christ's sacrifice as heirs, equal partners with the Jewish tradition, sons of Abraham, children of Abraham. We, by faith, not by works, not by the law, because the law, wages of sin is death. But we have the promise of life, and not just a little bit of life, but a wonderful, everlasting life that's not just, a little bit of everlasting life or a little bit of great life for a little bit of time, but an abundant life, life abundantly. That's the promise that we have. And as we worked our way through Romans 6, we know that it's our faith that gets us there. It's our faith with which we're made rightwise with God in Romans As we started Romans chapter 8, there's no condemnation for those who love the Lord, who have Christ Jesus in them. Well, as we finish with chapter 8, as Helen read those last lines, I want you to open your Bibles. And it was page what, Helen? 158. Read verses 35 through 39 with me again. Actually, let's just read 37 through 38 and 39. Now, in all these things, we, that's all the believers, page 158, that's us, all of the believers, we are more, what? They're more than conquerors. So we're not subject to, or we're not penalized by, we're more than conquerors. In other words, we're not under the heel or under the thumb. We're on the top of this, even though the world may say otherwise, even though all of the worldly indications are that we're on the losing end of this. We are more than conquerors, what? Through Him who loved us. It's our faith in Christ Jesus, and it's through Him that we're more than conquerors. And as Paul continues here, and he writes this so that each and every one of the Christians can know and understand that, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor present things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything living, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did he leave anything out? I mean, this is a pretty broad reaching. There's no height, no depth, nothing in life, nothing in the created life, nothing of heaven, nothing of earth that can separate us from what? The love of God through Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, his sacrifice signified by that cross, it's an empty cross, it's not a crucifix. We don't have Christ still up there. Christ is where? At the right hand of God the Father when he is waiting for us when that trumpet sounds and the clouds part, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And what? We're going to rise up to meet him. That's the promise. But we have this as an assurance. So as we started Romans, it was the blessed assurance in 6, the faith in 7, and in 8. There's no condemnation. But now what we have is, as we close out chapter 8, there's this strength of a restatement of a fact. Not something that anyone else can challenge. Now, I mean, they can challenge it, but we believe it. We hold these things to be truth. I mean, in the Constitution, we hold these things to be self-evident. More so than even that statement, we hold these things, this Romans chapter 8, the last three verses of that. These are things that we bet our life on. Get that? You're willing to bet your life on it. You're willing to stake your everlasting life on these being true. That Christ Jesus has done all that's needed for who? For me. For you. And as we celebrate communion, there's the realization that it is started that evening in the upper room where Jesus tells his disciples what it is that is going to happen. And one of them, sitting at the table, already has made plans with the high priest to betray him. And yet, he washes their feet and he serves them what we call communion, as they were celebrating the Passover meal. And he tells them, this is the body which is given, the blood which is shed, for those important things. Now, I say again and again, Isaiah 65, verse 24, that God is moving to answer our prayers before we even finish. Well, if you read Romans 8, 26 through 28, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, For when we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. In other words, God and the Holy Spirit are already offering up prayers for what we are not even able to voice. Whether it's an anguish or a concern, if we're in the doldrums of depression, if we're in a medical situation where there seems to be no other way, God will make a way. It's more than just words to a song. Even when the music is beautiful and lovely as it was last week, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. In verse 27, God who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the faith for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purposes. When you turn on the news channel, or you pick up a magazine, or you pick up a newspaper, and you read of all the horrors and all of the crime and all of the injustice around the world, this one kind of, we know that all things work together for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. How is that even sensible? Well, there's another reading to that. Romans 8:28. This is the New Living Translation. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, that it doesn't say that everything's going to be hunky-dory. It doesn't say that everything's going to be easy. It doesn't say that everything is going to be non-challenging. It doesn't say that everything is just going to work out for us. Because as we read through here and we read again 38 and 39, I'm convinced that neither death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He has done it all. God has done it all. He has already gone to the cross. He has already paid your sin debt. He has already paid for your salvation. And He did it on the cross. And when they took Him down from that cross in His dead, buried body, they rolled a stone over the tomb. And you know what happens? 3 days later, the stone's rolled back. Jesus comes out of that tomb, appears to many of the disciples, and then over the next several days, He shows up in the upper room. He's there with people. He meets them on a beach. He eats with people. They touch Him. They can see that He has, in fact, done everything that He said He was going to do. So we can have faith and a hope that whatever Jesus has said, He will accomplish. He will do it. If He was able to do those things, which are indisputable, yet we accept on faith. If He is able to do those, then He has the power to save even me and you. And the mystery of faith is, even though we don't know for certain, you know, if you have loved ones and you're wondering whether or not they knew God before their time came and before they were taken up, where their life is gone. Do we know whether or not they knew Christ? We can have a hope that we'll find that answer out when we get to heaven and we see Jesus. And those things will be revealed to us. But we know that nothing of the created order can separate us from His love through Christ Jesus. We have that as a promise. And every time we receive communion, every time we receive those consecrated elements, by a miracle, that becomes the body of Christ and His blood. And for what purpose? For our salvation, so that we'll remember this. Jesus said, as oft as you do it, in remembrance of me. Why? So that we remember who it is, under whose power we can fear and be afraid of nothing on earth. Because we have an absolute faith, trust, and hope that Jesus has done it all. God is already doing what needs to be done to work to the good of those who love Christ Jesus. It's a simple choice. We all make it, hopefully. And we can renew that promise each and every time we receive communion. We can renew that promise every time everything else gets on us and we just drop to our knees or stop what we're doing and hang our heads and pray. Or you lift up your hands to the hills where cometh the Lord, the power and the grace and the wonder of God. Even if it's a windy beach. Betty was telling me that the Stingray Point service this morning was windy. Well, can you imagine what Pentecost was like when that roaring wind came in? God has already done it all. Count on it. Live your life believing it. Shalom.